David Dolan, longtime journalist in the Middle East, stationed in Jerusalem, over 30 years of observing what's been happening in that part of the world. He does have great insight. That's why we're in contact with him on a weekly basis here on Prophecy Today. David, a chemical attack taking place there in Syria. The allegations are from the opposition that Bashar Assad's military is responsible. And, of course, they're denying all of that. There is a statement coming out of Assad's organization that, indeed, the opposition responsible. Nobody really knows. We'll not talk about that necessarily as much as let's talk about what does this mean as far as Israel is concerned. Is the use of chemical weapons in Syria a threat to the Israelis?
Well, it is ultimately because they can be fitted, as you know, Jimmy, chemical warheads on long-range and medium-range missiles, of which Syria possesses hundreds, if not thousands, that can strike virtually every part of Israel. So, as you also know, the Israeli government and the military and rescue services, emergency services, have been preparing for a major chemical attack for some years now, holding drills in all the major cities and hospitals and universities and other places. So it's certainly something that the Israelis think is a strong possibility, and the growing evidence that it was the Assad regime that carried out this attack in a southern suburb of Damascus, a suburb held by rebel forces that killed hundreds, if not over 1,000 people, that it was carried out by the Assad regime. The British government is now saying that. The French are saying that. The U.S. hasn't quite gotten to that point, but seems to be leading in that direction. And we have reports that activists associated with the Syrian opposition have smuggled samples of soil and other contaminated clothing and other things to a team of U.N. experts who, interestingly enough, are in Damascus under a mandate to investigate earlier reported chemical attacks in Syria, several that occurred supposedly or reportedly earlier this year. And while there, this attack apparently took place. So if they're able to get those samples out to New York or to Europe, examine them and confirm that this is probably sarin nerve gas, which the regime is known to possess, then I think the international community will rise up, of course, not with Russia, not with China, but the Western powers in particular, and take some sort of action. That obviously interests Israel very much, would affect Israel very much, and coming as it did with a fresh batch of rocket attacks upon northern Israel from Lebanon, two major car bombs in Lebanon killing scores of people, and other activities, and of course the crisis in Egypt, this is all very worrisome. As Prime Minister Netanyahu said, Iran in particular is watching how the world responds, how the West responds, and if they just sit back and do nothing, that will encourage them in their nuclear program and their goal to annihilate Israel, he said.
You've just given us a litany of instability in this part of the world, which is why, of course, we want you at these microphones for the purpose of helping us understand what is actually going on. You mentioned rockets coming out of Lebanon. Am I really understanding that the Israelis went in and attacked that rocket launching area? What's the latest on that?
Well, Jimmy, it was reportedly a Palestinian group based along the coast south of Beirut, about 7 miles south of Beirut, that carried out this attack of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. That's a breakaway PLO group that every so often shows up on the Middle East scene and does an attack or does something dramatic. And in the past, they carried out many major terror attacks upon Israelis and Israelis abroad. They said they did it. The Israelis responded by striking caves, actually. They have a series of underground caves and tunnels. This is very common in the Middle East for these terrorist groups to place their forces underground, a little bit more out of harm's way. So the Israeli Air Force reportedly struck that after these four rockets came in. The attack was actually claimed by an affiliated group to the Popular Front, a Sunni Muslim group as well, linked to Al-Qaeda. They said they carried it out, but the Israelis apparently believe the evidence led to the Popular Front, so that's where they struck back. Four rockets launched into northern Israel. Only one was aimed at a civilian area, at a built-up area. They were all aimed to do that, but only one was heading in the direction of built-up population. So the Iron Dome anti-aircraft system that the U.S. helped fund went into action and was able to take that rocket out. It didn't bother with the other three after the computer trajectories were plotted and they saw they weren't going to hit built-up areas. It costs the Israelis $100,000, Jimmy, every time that Iron Dome is fired. So they don't do it unless they feel they have to, but they obviously felt they had to. And this coming on a day before, car bombs went off in the northern Lebanese city of Tripoli, aimed at Sunni Muslim mosques, killing scores of people there, wounding over 500. Just a few days after an attack in South Beirut on a Hezbollah neighborhood, a car bomb just shows that Lebanon is indeed slipping into chaos, as neighboring Syria is. This, of course, is gravely worrisome to Israel, with the Hezbollah militia in particular dominating Lebanon, heavily armed. The chances, Jimmy, I would say today that this is going to turn into a regional war involving Israel and the West seem to have jumped precipitously this week with these actions.
Yes, very interesting developments unfolding. Meanwhile, Tayyip Erdogan, who is the Prime Minister of Turkey, making a statement, that an accusation, really, that Israel orchestrated the Mohamed Morsi downfall and is responsible for the Egyptian unrest. I mean, is that an ironic statement, or does he have any merit in making it?
Well, you know, the Turkish Prime Minister has been sounding more and more, frankly, like a lunatic over the past few years in his statements concerning Israel. Or I should say, maybe he's sounding more like a traditional anti-Semite, the sort of statements that you expect from Iran, from more radical regimes, the statements we got in the 60s and 70s from communist countries against the Jewish state, and of course before that, what Hitler alleged the Jewish people were doing, making matzah with the blood of Christian children and all sorts of things. These are traditional anti-Semitic positions, and the Turkish Prime Minister has adopted those, apparently, and is saying absurd things. I mean, how the Israelis have orchestrated a Egyptian military coup against the elected government there, Muslim Brotherhood government, is beyond anybody's imagination. Now, I would assume that some of the Egyptian generals did have some talks with their Israeli counterparts, because they have pretty good relations over the years with the peace treaty. There has been a lot of interaction, and they may have indicated, I don't know, who knows, to the Israelis that they were at the point they couldn't put up with Morsi anymore and they were going to depose him. Well, the Israelis certainly wouldn't have opposed that, but orchestrated it? That's extremely unlikely. They don't have that sort of power or clout in Egypt or other Arab countries to do such a thing.
We want to talk about the Iranian situation. That's number one threat as far as Israel is concerned, even with all of this chaos happening around Israel today. Iran still remains its number one threat, and one of the high-ranking Israeli officials made a statement this week, if indeed the Israelis were to attack and go after that nuclear program and developing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction in Iran, that Iran would hardly retaliate, or maybe not even retaliate at all. What's the story here?
Well, you know, nobody knows. These things can only be proven in the event, on history books, so something that happens, so we can't really say. But I think the Israeli military leadership certainly has to assume that the Iranian leadership is telling the truth when they say there will be massive retaliation for any Israeli action. And they've even said if the U.S. and its allies carried out an attack on their nuclear program without Israel's participation, they would still consider Israel a reply target because of its association, its alliance with the United States. So they are likely to use whatever force they can in response. But again, who knows? Maybe such an attack would lead to the overthrow of the Islamic regime there. Iran is not immune to the same instability that's sweeping through the rest of the Middle East Muslim world. So anything could happen, but the Israelis have to assume they will be struck back if they hit, and of course, again, they're preparing for that possibility.
Yes, that assumption is making them be ready, be very vigilant as to what's going on in Iran and that development of nuclear weapon of mass destruction, which still remains the number one threat to the Jewish state of Israel. By the way, Bible prophecy does say that Iran will be a major participant in the end-time scenario that's going to unfold, I don't think, too long into the future. David Dolan, he's our broadcast partner covering the Middle East for us with an update every week. Appreciate it, David. Thank you so very much. We'll talk again next week.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.